You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your itsy bitsy message after the tone.
Hey Flora, factual emergency here. I was walking down the hall in my office building and three spiders were hanging from the ceiling. And then we start looking around, there's spiders everywhere. They were falling faster than we could kill them. But my question is this a known phenomenon? And how many spiders could there possibly be?
This is Steven.
Hey, Steven, it's Flora from ELT.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm good. So, you know, this is a casual show. Feel free to call me what my friends call me, your spider ship.
I would love to do that, your spider ship.
Tell me about the incident.
So it was just a normal day at work. I was walking over to one of my coworkers' offices and I almost ran right into a spider. So, you know, I jump back and I start to look around the hallway and it's not just one spider, but several spiders like drop down from the ceiling. You know, it's one of the drop ceilings, you know, with the tiles that pop up. And then we start looking up on the tiles and we start seeing all these other little tiny spiders. They just kept appearing. And in the span of about 10 minutes, we probably killed 50 spiders. Then we look outside and there's all these spiders on our cars as well.
Had you ever seen anything like this before?
No, never in my life have I seen anything like this. And it just got me thinking, okay, I've seen, you know, 100 spiders in the course of 10 or 15 minutes. How many spiders are there? You know, is it one of those situations where we need to like burn the building down because we're infested? You know, how many spiders are we dealing with?
What do you do for work?
I'm an accountant.
And what do you do for work now that you had to quit your job?
No, I'm still there. Although just a couple of days ago, it happened again.
Are you an accountant for a fly factory?
No. It's just a normal, you know, office full of accountants. But I was sitting in my office talking with a coworker when all of a sudden a spider dropped down from the ceiling. It almost gave me a heart attack.
What level of arachnophobic are you, would you say?
On a scale of 10, 8 or 9, probably. I don't have any use for spiders.
Oh, 8 or 9?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we just sent you a video, and just don't watch it.
Okay, I haven't looked at the video.
Okay,
so
great.
Just let me know when I need to pull it up.
Don't ever watch the video.
So
delete the email. This is a courtesy to you because now that I know that you're a 8 or 9 on the arachnophobic scale, do not watch that video.
No, come on, it'll be fun. I'll be okay. I'm not really that arachnophobic. I'm playing it up just a little bit.
Okay, well, let's just see.
Okay,
let's see where you are. Go ahead and open it.
Okay, spider video.
What are you seeing?
Oh my gosh, what is this?
Can you describe what you're seeing?
The largest spider ever has just erupted out of an astronaut, maybe, and is spewing webs. It has leapt onto the doctors. There's foaming at the mouth. Okay, it's going. It's trying to escape the lab. I'm sure to wreak havoc on the whole world. Yeah, oh, it got out. That was great. What movie was that from?
A classic. spiders.
Oh, well.
With that, I think we are ready to march into Spider Town.
The other S Town. Let's go.
Okay, you called about mass spider events. You had an encounter at work, and you asked, has this happened before?
Yep.
And it has.
Hello, Steven.
That's Freddie Goen, and a bunch of spiders dropped into his place of work, too.
I worked several years as a park ranger at Tuolumne State Park.
It's about an hour east of Dallas, Texas. It has a big lake, campsites, fishing.
And it's got, I don't remember how many miles of hiking trails through the timber.
Steven, have you been to this area?
Actually, I grew up in East Texas, so yeah, this is my neighborhood.
Oh, wow. So you can probably picture the landscape.
I can. You know, it's very green, you know, oak trees and things like that. It's a really nice part of Texas.
You may not feel that way after this story.
Oh, my gosh.
So Freddie had a lot of jobs. As a ranger, he mowed the trails. He looked after campers. He came to the rescue when a kid hooked a water snake on his fishing line.
They were screaming and yelling. The parents thought I was some kind of hero.
That snake incident was the most exciting thing to happen on the job. Until August 2007. It had been an unusually rainy summer, and that meant a lot of bugs.
That year was the worst year I've ever seen for mosquitoes. They were just horrible.
Like how bad?
Like, they just swarm you. You have to carry mosquito repellent with you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So one day, out came the sun and dried up all the rain.
It dried up enough, I thought I could mow.
When was the last time you had mowed?
Probably been 2 or 3 months since we've been back in there, back in the timber where those hiking trails were.
So Freddie hopped on his riding mower and headed to the trails.
And I come around this one bend right on the very north end of the park. And back to the left, about 10 yards would be the lake. And I come around the corner and I could see these trees ahead of me, probably... I'm talking about 60-foot tall trees, completely engulfed spider webs from the ground over the top of them, all the way down on the other side to the ground and covering all the bushes.
Like a 60-foot drape over the trees?
Nope.
Yes. And there was thousands of spiders in it.
Are you still with me?
Barely. The 60-foot spider web covering an entire tree, that's a no for me.
It actually wasn't just one tree.
Oh my gosh.
It was an acre of trees.
I have never seen anything like it before. And I spent most of my life out in the woods, hunting, fishing, that kind of stuff. And I'd never seen anything like that.
He'd never heard anything like it either.
I killed the mower, and I was probably 15 yards from the starting of the web. And you could hear the mosquitoes, thousands of them that was trapped in the web. Just a solid hum. Zzz, just solid.
That is the wildest thing I think I've ever heard. Are there pictures?
There are pictures. Check your email.
Okay, let me check.
And if you're listening on Spotify, you can see this terror curtain on the episode page or on our Instagram at ELT Show.
Oh my gosh. That doesn't even look like spiders. You can barely even tell that it's trees. I mean, you can't even see the sky. There are so many spider webs.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't like you walking around, you see spider webs, you can see the detail in it. This was just like it wasn't really any detail. They were just overlaying each other and stuff, the webbing.
Steven, how is this making your encounter seem?
Oh, my encounter is nothing compared to an acre of spiders. And, like, how many spiders did the scientists estimate were in this web?
Oh, I'd say 100,000 or more.
It's 100,000 too many. Except that they're killing mosquitoes.
And 100,000 might be an underestimate. One scientific report estimated millions of spiders in this web, which means Freddie Goen walked into one of the largest spider cons ever recorded.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Is this like, I mean, how common is this? I mean, is this just one of those things that people who live out in the city, you know, or live in the city and don't, you know, don't go hiking much are going to see? I mean, I feel like I go hiking a fair amount. I've never seen anything like this.
I know. That's what I wanted to know, too. Has this happened before? And how do a gazillion spiders decide to form the world's scariest flash mob?
Yeah.
We're going to untangle that web of questions after the break. Okay, Stephen. To learn more about spider paloozas, we talked to Cornell arachnologist and WebMD, Dr. Linda Rare.
Hi, Stephen. How you doing?
Good.
Linda is a spider pro, and she's pro spider. Like, so pro spider that when she walked into our Gimlet studio, she plopped a medium-sized floral tote bag down on the table and pulled out a special surprise. I feel very nervous about what's coming out of this.
You shouldn't. I'm not opening anything.
Do you want to guess what Linda had with her?
I can only imagine. Was it a live spider, live specimen?
It wasn't a live specimen. It was hundreds of live specimens.
No.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
It was a shoebox full of live baby spiders in small vials.
Small plastic well-sealed vials in a well-sealed plastic bag in a well-sealed shoebox.
And each vial is filled with a baby tarantula?
A baby tarantula, Brazilian blue tarantulas.
My voice is cracking. That's a surprise. I don't think I've ever seen a tarantula IRL. I think this is amazing. Can I just look one more time? Because I am kind of awed. And when they're locked up in a small plastic container, I feel like I can really interact with them in a way that I can't.
But of course. I'm more than happy to have you look.
Okay.
Just don't open anything. Every one of them is fast.
Steven? I thought you hung up.
Why would she do that to you, Flora?
I was so surprised. This wasn't like, oh, I'm going to bring you stuff and we can look at it. She was just like, oh, I had them with me.
Of course, as one does. Let me pull some spiders out of my bag.
Like she had them in an Uber, in a hotel.
You know, if you're going to bring like a dog or a cat to a hotel, I mean, that's something that you have to disclose. I mean, if you're going to bring thousands of spiders, I mean, is that also something to disclose?
Do you ask for like tiny little spider beds? You know, like, I'm going to need 2,000 small pillows. So that's Linda. And she knew all about the Texas spider bash.
It's a really unusual event. I believe it's been seen in Texas, Pakistan, and a number of other places. But it's a big deal because it's not happening all over. And I don't think anybody totally understands what's going on with it. But from what I understand, it's mostly occurring near water. And the dominant spider that seems to be in these groups are long-jawed spiders in the family Tetragonathidae.
Long-jawed spiders. You've probably seen them before. They have these extra long legs and these really, really big jaws, hence the name.
So, long jaws.
Yeah, those are super creepy-looking spiders.
And these spiders are traditionally loners. They usually build a web for one.
These guys build webs that are directly above the water, especially to catch emerging insects. And this is more or less what they specialize on. And from what I've read, these are spiders that are building in areas that are having big flushes of insects coming up primarily out of water.
So this kind of adds up with Freddie's account of it being a bad mosquito year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. It's what's rare about this is that so many spiders are building their webs together. But, you know, if there is enough food, spiders are willing to build their webs in close proximity.
That's really interesting.
So one way to attract spiders in large numbers is to set out a bug buffet. Solitary spiders will endure others when tons of food is involved.
I know that guy. I'm the guy that never misses the buffet.
That's my spider personality, too.
Yeah.
So this might help explain what happened in Texas, but I don't think it explains what happened in your office.
Yes.
There are a few other times when spiders congregate. Some spiders are born social.
Most of these are in the cobweb spider family, and then the velvet spiders in the family Ericidae.
They're rare. Only about 3% of all spiders are social. And the thing that makes them social is that they live communally.
In large sheet webs, and when I say sheet webs, I'm talking more or less a continual sheet, kind of like our grass spiders, but lots bigger. And these can easily have tens of thousands of spiders in them.
I did not know that there were spiders that lived in colonies.
I know. And here's the big advantage of colony living.
The big deal about living in a social spider web is that most of these spiders, they're about the size of my little fingernail, and they're able to catch really big prey. So big grasshoppers, big moths or butterflies.
Like a woolly mammoth for us.
Yeah, much more like a woolly mammoth. And if you've got 30 or more spiders injecting venom and gnawing on it, they're able to take down far, far larger prey than they can on their own.
And then they share that food.
So it's a big deal. I like the woolly mammoth example.
That's wild.
So we have solitary spiders that commune when there's massive amounts of food. And then there are social spiders that live in colonies and eat massive food. And then there's at least one more circumstance where you get a lot of spiders in one place. And I think this might shine some light on your experience.
I'm ready.
This is when the thrill-seeking, adrenaline junkie spider takes to the air and balloons.
Ballooning is awesome, actually. It's a behavior where small spiders, mostly, put their abdomen up in the air. They're essentially putting their butt up in the air, releasing silk.
The silk gets wafted up into the air
as though it was a kite, and it pulls the spider up into the atmosphere. And then evidently they're able to turn their body in different ways and choose to come down. And so spiders are able to disperse crazy long distances.
How far?
Many, many hundreds of miles.
So do they balloon in together? I mean, should we imagine them being like, everyone's like, ah, down there. And how do they know where to go?
No idea. And nobody has any idea.
So Stephen, spider long distance migration. Have you heard of this?
I've never heard of such a thing. I mean, I've heard of ballooning, you know, because I've read Charlotte's Web, but I've never heard of hundreds and hundreds of miles.
There's actually a song about this, about spider ballooning events.
Really?
Yeah, I'll play it for you.
Spiders. Spiders.
No, I've never heard that.
It's actually the original.
Spiders.
Spiders. Anyway, back to your office building. Ballooning could be the reason why you saw them all over the car that day.
Yes. You know, later on, we saw some pictures on the local news of, you know, this wasn't just an isolated event. It was, they were everywhere.
Oh, it was across the region.
Yes. There's some pictures of like an ATM covered with hundreds of spiders. I mean, they were everywhere.
at that same time?
Yeah, the same day.
Oh, wow.
But I am a little curious as to how they got in to the office.
Well, the other option, Linda said, is that an egg sac hatched in your ceiling.
The cobweb spider can have as many as 300 to 400 eggs per egg sac. But I've got to say, if it wasn't baby spiders, it sounds to me like they've got a lot of insects and leaks into their building because spiders go where there's food.
Maybe you don't have a spider problem. You have a spider food problem.
You know, you say that, but we don't have bugs everywhere. I don't know.
You know why you don't?
Because of the spiders.
Because you have 500 spiders living above you.
I'm actually really sorry that they killed them all. I am a firm believer in deli cups as a way to deal with spiders in your home.
Well, next time we know.
Steven, next time you see 50 spiders dropping from the ceiling or spiders carpeting your car, take a picture for us.
I'll take a picture. I'll keep a deli cup in my car just for that reason.
Thank you for enduring this, your spidership.
Thank you. You are the ultimate spidership. Thank you so much.
That's the best compliment I've ever gotten. If you have a burning question you can't get to the bottom of, give us a call. 833-RING-ELT. 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Gabby Bulgarelli, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka, Doug Barron, and George Hale. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Jorge Just, scored by Dara Hirsch, Ailey Shaw, and Bobby Lord, mixed by Marcus Bugala. Two legs bad, four legs bad, eight legs good. Goodbye.
Hi, Flora. My name's Jeff. I just listened to your Little Green Men episode, and I'm sure I'm not the only pedantic listener who will let you know that light years are a unit of distance, not of time. But the other thing I wanted to bring up about Little Green Men is that it is what the astronomers who first discovered pulsars nicknamed their first discovery. The very first pulsar was just a radio signal coming from the sky at an extremely regular interval. And they didn't know what it was, so they nicknamed it LGM-1 for Little Green Men. They didn't actually think they'd found aliens, but they really didn't know what they'd found at that point. So they went with something kind of fun. So thought you'd want to know that. Bye.